Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. I am joined tonight by Lou and Chris. Lou, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
All right. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. Been a strange day, but I'm good.
Okay. Strange day. Hopefully not a bad strange day.
No, just one of those weird days.
Okay. Well, that's all right. It's now the end of the day, and the weirdness is done. We can just relax, enjoy a nice episode of Echo Bay. Same old, same old. Nothing weird going to happen here, other than having special guests tonight. Joining us for the first time on Echo Base are the guys from the Retro Convo, one of our newest shows on the Random Chatter Network. We haven't really ever cross-pollinated the shows before, so I'm pretty excited about this. They're all big Star Wars fans, but I don't think that they've gotten to really talk about Rogue One on their show because it's kind of outside the scope of what they do. So, without further ado, how you guys doing?
We are doing good. I think there's two things we got to say, though. One, okay. I think we're grateful that you open Echo Base for us and we're not freezing.
Yeah.
Two, we're offended that you called us weird. So, how you doing there, guys?
I didn't say you were weird.
A couple of us that are weird.
Well, see, I know that. I wasn't going to say that, though. No, I just, weird things would happen. I didn't mean to imply that you guys are actually weird, though. I don't know that that would have been wrong.
It's okay. We get a little weird around here.
Yeah.
We enjoy it.
Well, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and so that we can kind of put names with the voices?
Okay, so I'm Ernie.
I'm Randy.
And Mike.
All right. So, before we get into Star Wars, tell us a little bit about the Retro Convo. Not everybody who listens to Echo Base also listens to Retro Convo, which is bad, and I'm very ashamed of those listeners right now. So let's rectify that. Tell us about the Retro Convo.
So we created the show about a year and a half ago. We started it because all we did was talk about our childhood and the things we grew up with. And you know what? We said, let's start a show.
Right. It was kind of a way for our wives to allow us a set amount of time to talk about all those things when we're together. But this, like, our show is definitely a labor of love because we constantly talk about just the nostalgia that we grew up with, like, throughout the 80s and the 90s primarily. But we're completely open to talking about things before that as well. It's just because there's so many amazing things that we grew up with and people kind of lost interest over time. And it's those things that are great to revisit as an adult.
Right. So some topics, if you were going to have people go back and check out some of your episodes you've already done that you're particularly proud of or that you think would have wide appeal, give us some examples of some they should check out.
I would say all the ones without Mike, the ones where he missed. What would you say, Mike?
Well, the first year of the show was a little dark. And then I joined.
Then the light came.
Right. Yeah, sure.
There you go.
I would say right off the bat, about a year ago, we covered the full Star Wars trilogy, episodes 4, 5, and 6, which were really, really great to talk about. Mike was on two of those episodes.
Yeah,
it was on two of those episodes. And as we probably all know by this point, Mike has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Star Wars universe.
I would say the Disney afternoon stuff.
That was a good one.
That's where we really started to hit our stride.
We still need to finish the Disney afternoon suite, but definitely the Darkwing Duck episode.
That one's really good.
Goofy movie.
We just released our Last Action Hero episode a couple weeks ago, and that one was a ton of fun to record. And you like, and if you listen to the episode, you get the vibe as well. If you've seen the movie, you understand why we laugh so much.
Also, I want to say, just a personal project for me was probably the greatest movie of the 1990s, Surf Ninjas.
Yes.
Where we actually had one of the actors from the movie come down into the studio and record with us.
I remember
you
guys
listen
talking
to our show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And you can find that movie on YouTube, right?
The entire movie is on YouTube. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, probably not legally, but until they catch the guy who posted it,
No one's chasing those rights.
Right, yeah. Right.
If you listen to our episode, no one is fighting that fight.
Okay, well, you know, let's talk some Star Wars. Before we get into Rogue One, we've had a little bit of news very recently. Woody Harrelson is now officially going to be part of the Han Solo film.
Nice.
I am, and this is awesome because I am totally excited that Jackson has been brought into the canon.
I know, right?
Like, I just, wow. We are at that point where Jackson is going to be on screen.
And can you imagine Woody Harrelson in the Jackson makeup? I mean,
he doesn't already look like that.
Well, it just, they have to, you know, color his beard a little bit first, and you know.
I mean, I'm not too familiar with the character of Jackson, but I'm familiar with Woody Harrelson as an actor, and he's got some serious acting chops. So I really think that he's gonna be a great addition to the Han Solo film.
But do you think he can transcend being Woody Harrelson, though?
You know, I kind of feel like, and the point that I kind of want to make, and I'll bring it up again later on when we're actually talking about Rogue One, is like, to me, Forrest Whitaker kind of always will come off as Forrest Whitaker. Like, he right. can't transcend being Forrest Whitaker, but I still loved him as Saw Gerrera in Rogue One. I feel like Woody Harrelson is going to have that same effect. He's still going to be Billy from White Men Can't Jump, but he's going to put on a great performance. So I'm really excited to see how this comes out.
I mean, if you're having a hard time accepting Woody Allen based on like kind of his personality, the two movies to kind of watch would be him in Hunger Games and then him in Zombieland.
And by Woody Allen, you mean Woody Harrelson.
Exactly. Yeah. That guy.
Different Woody.
Just
different
wanted Woody. To point that out.
Now, Sheriff when he was Woody. In Andy's toy box.
Yeah. I love how we arrive at the same point.
Wow. Lou, Chris, any thoughts on the Woody Harrelson thing? We touched on it briefly, but it wasn't official at that point, so we kind of dismissed it a little bit. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see him in a role because I think he's a good actor. I just don't know what he's going to bring to that role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
If he's a zombie kill of the week, I'll be very happy.
I'm not too excited about the Han Solo movie anyway, and this really doesn't do. I mean, it doesn't really make me more excited. Maybe more interested, I guess.
Okay, more curious.
Yeah,
to see what kind of train wreck it's going to be.
Let's hope not.
My only concern really is that, like the Forrest Whitaker thing. And that's a good example. The one I keep going back to is Samuel Jackson in the prequel trilogy. Like, I eventually got to the point where he was Mace Windu instead of Sam Jackson. But
okay. It
took a while. Like, for me, there was Yoda and Ki-Adi Mundi and Sam Jackson.
Right.
And
it's like about three films to get to him where he's Mace Windu.
Right.
When he finally died, that's when you accepted him, right?
Pretty much, yeah. That was, I was just starting to see the character there instead of the actor, and now he flew out a window.
And then somebody says unlimited power, and bam, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got some worries about this. For those who who don't know that we were joking about the Jackson thing, his role has not been revealed other than to say that it is a mentor of Han Solo. Some people have been speculating that it could be one of two different characters mentioned in the A.C. Crispin Han Solo trilogy from what is now Legends. And I think either of those would be okay. The one being the smuggler that got Han Solo into smuggling, and the other being his cousin? Who ended up growing into being a corrupt politician. I don't know that he was
Thrakken?
Really... Yeah.
Thrakken, yeah.
Thrakken Sal Solo.
I'm not really sure that he's a mentor, though.
No, him and Han always had
kind of like a love hate.
Their beefs, yeah.
Yeah.
It was more like a hate.
Yeah. So. Yeah. True. Well, I don't know. I'd be curious as to what the audience thinks on this one. Let us know your thoughts. Send us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com. And let us know what you think about that. But let's jump into Rogue One. So before we get into any specifics, what did you guys think overall?
We all loved it. Across the table, loved it. I definitely have some personal issues with the movie here and there, but it fits perfectly. I mean, we can't argue that. And then plus, we got a movie that we've been wanting for a while where we can actually see some wars on the ground. So
right.
I think that was the most exciting element of the movie itself.
I agree. Like, I've seen it twice. I saw it once. Ernie took me to go see it on opening night as a birthday gift, and which was really, really awesome.
Awesome.
But I ended up watching it. I took my wife to go see it last week. So I saw it at two different points in the Star Wars fan universe, like history, like when it first came out and then after Carrie Fisher passed. And it's crazy how much of a different tone it carries now that we have such an icon that's no longer with us. But overall, this movie just shines from top to bottom, from the first scene of the movie till the very, very closing scene. And it's an instant favorite for me.
I agree with all of those points. And to take it even further, it is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Wow.
Those are really big words, yeah.
I thought about it long and hard. Listeners to our show of Ghost Stories know that I have a bet with Kathleen Kennedy that since she put the Rebels crew in there, I have to see the movie 12 times. So I'm up to four. and every time it gets better.
And how much money are you willing to invest in this 12-time bet?
You know, that's between me and her. But.
Well, you know, there's dollar theaters. There's the Tuesday matinee specials, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to see the movie 12 times. I don't have to...
Right.
Right.
There's a website I can point you to.
Backwards with an empty popcorn bucket, they'll think you're leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
They're like, yeah.
If I just walk in like I own the place, they'll just like, oh, it's the Rogue One guy again.
Yeah. Oh, it's Templeton.
Yeah, it's Templeton.
Call security. We have posters. He's not allowed back in here.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
But no, it's definitely my favorite Star Wars movie. It's given us something that we've never had in the trilogies before. And I was talking about this with a friend of mine last night. It shows us how different people view things that we've always seen as like the Jedi and the Sith, but we see it from the common people in Star Wars. So we see how they kind of view the Force with the Guardians of the Wills and kind of just how they view it. And that's what's fascinating to me.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. Wow, those are, like you said, those are big words saying that's your favorite, like, overall. I'm a little surprised.
Jin's a cutie, so it's like... You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that doesn't hurt the argument there. You're the first person I've heard to say that it is their favorite of the Star Wars movies. And that's not to say that you're the only person who feels that way. You're just the first person who I've heard say it's their favorite. I've heard second place quite a bit. And right now, for me, it's kind of tied for second. But that's impressive.
Yeah, like I said, it gave me something that I've never gotten out of a Star Wars movie. Like Empire came closest with the Battle of Hoth, mm-hmm. and I enjoy war movies. And just the space battle, like it tops the one from Return of the Jedi a lot too.
Yeah.
So that's why everything about this movie was just kind of masterfully done.
All right, so. Let's look at Saw Gerrera a little bit. Started out in the Clone Wars. As of just the last week or two, he's now in Rebels. And we saw a little bit of him in Catalyst, in the novel. And now in the movie. So the casting of Forrest Whitaker, do you think it worked? Do you think that having such a big name was distracting? Was his performance over the top? Because that's something that that some people feel Forrest Whitaker often does, myself being one of those people. Did that work?
I'll take it first. So I think there's two ways to view it. There's one way, which is the way we view it. It was perfect. It was not over the top. And I think people just have to know his backstory a little bit. That somebody that extreme who lost a sister would kind of divulge into this mental almost illness, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then there's the casual viewer who doesn't know anything about Saw Gerrera or even his background. I think they would think he was over the top. But for me, it personally worked. I actually loved some of his lines. It just took me a second to really think about his history about, like, even with the gas mask. At first I was like, why did he do it so dramatic?
Yeah. Like,
and then I thought about his background, you know, where he got gassed on, what was the planet again?
Well, we don't know that if it's Geonosis yet.
Geonosis,
so
yeah.
That's we discussed this in our last episode of Ghost Stories, because that's the one where Saw comes in. There's a rumor that he's going to get his breathing problem from going back to Geonosis.
Right.
I think with Saul Guerrero, like, I have a pretty interesting point of view with Saul Guerrero because I have no experience with him up until Rogue One. So as soon as he came on screen, like, I, like many others, like, oh, Forrest Whitaker. And I kind of thought at some point, like, I didn't catch a lot of his lines the first time I watched it because I did kind of get it being a little over the top. And so after seeing it the first time, I watched the new episodes of Rebels where he's been introduced, and it starts to make more sense. And then seeing it a second time, and I'm like, I get it. Like, this makes so much more sense about how somebody like that who genuinely has the same goal as the Rebellion feels that it's so much easier to go the more extreme route and potentially ruin everything as long as the goal is achieved. Right. And I think, like, taking it from, like, Star Wars Rebels, when Ezra calls him out saying that if you're willing to go to these lengths to complete a mission, then you truly are no greater than the Empire. And that speaks volumes, because I feel like at the end of, just before we see him, you know, at the end of Rogue, or in his final scenes in Rogue One, it kind of makes sense a little bit where he's like, this is the right way to go and do things. I'm okay staying on Jeddah. Like, you're not going to get me out. This is ultimately the goal. Jyn, leave.
Right. Because that's the other thing. The Saw that we see in the last episode of Rebels is kind of the beginning of the end of him.
Right.
It's 2 years before Rogue One takes place. And at this point, he's already lost Jyn. He's lost his sister for years. Like, this is the beginning of his fanaticism and his ultimate downward spiral.
Right.
So the saw that we see in the movie, like Randy said, it, like, is kind of that culmination. And it takes seeing Jyn again and knowing not everything is lost at that point to kind of snap him out of it.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but I mean, his face, his persona on screen still just took me out of it a little bit. I mean, he, you know, like Eric said, it's the big name, it's the big star, it's somebody you recognized. I'd rather see people that we didn't recognize at all in the movie, and it wouldn't take me out of that experience.
I'm surprised.
Who would you have put in the costume?
I don't know. I mean, it's the thing. Anybody who I don't recognize would be fine.
Tom Cruise?
Anybody who I can't answer that question for. I understand.
Idris Elba would have done it for me.
Idris Elba would have been a good choice, too. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
I can see that.
To me, though, I kind of feel like what Lou's saying, but now after also seeing him in Rebels and after learning that, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a story about the respirator thing and stuff like that, part of my issue was what made some of his performance a little bit over, not the character over the top, but the performance of the character feel a little bit over the top initially was the way he delivered the lines. It was hard to understand a good third of the lines the first time you see the film. And it kind of felt like seeing General Grievous in episode 3 the first time with him coughing constantly before A, realizing he's not a droid, he's a cyborg, and B, seeing the animated Clone Wars where Mace Windu basically uses the Force and crunches his chest up, which then kind of explains, you know, why we then immediately after that in episode 3 see him walking around coughing. So, like, I get it now, but for a while, to me, it was like, man, I get that you want to have him have some kind of a breathing problem, but when you can't deliver the lines so that they're audible and understandable, aren't you maybe losing something?
The question, though, I want to ask you guys, do you feel like, even with General Grievous, did you want to know more of his backstory? Now, with Forrest Whitaker coming on, do you get interested and maybe want to explore where that all came from? And I think that's probably the more important question as far as the character goes for Rogue One.
I like the fact that with Saw, there are other stories to tell, and we're seeing some of that. So, like, they're teasing that, hey, there's more going on here, and then they're also delivering on that, and I like that. Okay. With General Grievous in the prequels, honestly, it wasn't just General Grievous. There were a lot of things in the prequels that I wanted to see more of. I mean, we hardly get to see anything from Darth Maul. We hardly get to see anything of General Grievous. There's just this, and we do, again, eventually through the Clone Wars series, we get that expansion of those characters so that we get the backstory and we learn more about them. And yeah, it does make Star Wars feel like a bigger place.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not much different than Vader in the original trilogy, though. I mean, you didn't know much about Vader going into it, obviously. I mean,
right.
There was no backstory. I mean, you got more of it as we went along in the three movies, but...
Yeah, yeah, there was no obligation.
I mean, it's not like they're going to go back and, you know, I mean, they did go back with the prequels, but,
yeah.
You know, years and years later, you didn't feel left out by not having that backstory. While I would have loved to have seen Maul on screen more and know some of his backstory, I don't need to. I mean, I would like to see him on screen longer if he didn't get cut in half, but I didn't feel like I needed to know his backstory.
But it was like, it was a waste,
bits
though.
And pieces about that along the way, I'd be okay, but... you know, I don't need to know all the backstory.
But see, here's the thing. We get enough screen time with Vader in the original trilogy that there is some character development there. We get enough screen time with Qui-Gon Jinn that there's some character development there. Even if there's not character development, like progression over time, we still at least get to see the character on display enough that we feel a connection to the character. Darth Maul was like a tease.
Right.
And General Grievous
totally
was like a
ruined that character and didn't use him well.
Right. So I guess
But Saw Gerrera, I mean, we have enough of him on screen.
I agree. Like, I'm glad that we're getting the extra stuff. But yeah, they weren't under any obligation to...
Especially you, the one doesn't want any prequels.
Really? I don't want prequels.
Do you want backstory now? Come on.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they gave us plenty. If you want it, I would have been fine without it. No, I'm agreeing with you, Lou.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to tear me apart until I don't agree with you.
I'm sorry. I was trying to argue. I'm still bitter about the other night.
Oh, about the opening numbers for...
Yeah, whatever. Just keep going.
And how often I bring that up about...
Yeah, it's okay.
It won't break 100
million.
Yeah,
how many millions did it make?
Hey, did I
I'll let Lou answer that.
Anniversary of me being on the cruise last year. Did I mention that?
It was almost 200 million, wasn't it?
155 opening weekend.
But that was just domestically.
Yeah. That was just domestically. Yeah. Opening weekend, I mean, double that.
In the international...
International was twice that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one thing about Saw is that Grievous, where he really didn't have an aspect of his character that made him likable or interesting. Saw, I think, you know, we're sitting here talking about him because he at least had some kind of impact on us. Be it a, you know, a positive or a negative impact, whereas Grievous was kind of just there. Like, I feel like if we were recording this after seeing Revenge of the Sith, we wouldn't really be talking about him because, you know, I until the Clone Wars came out, and even that little Clone Wars miniseries, you don't really know anything about him, and he doesn't really do anything on screen to make you care about him either.
Right. No, that makes sense. So the Rebels crew, this is something that, we talked about a little bit on some of the other shows, but we obviously got to see some of, well, we didn't really get to, we got anything made of metal from Rebels. We got to see, the Ghost. We got to see,
we saw no organic characters.
Exactly. Exactly. We saw the Ghost. We saw Chopper. And I'm glad that we didn't just see the Ghost in the parking lot. We got to see Ghost out on the highway, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Although we did see it in the parking lot too. So.
Right. So we got both.
The funny thing is, like, Ernie had to point out all of the time, like, all the Ghost appearances to me when we were watching it the first time around. Like, the only thing that I caught that he didn't catch was, over the comm when they said, when they generals were calling for, for generals and doula.
No, I got that, too.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
but every other time, like, where the Ghost actually appeared, whether it was in the parking lot or on the highway, he was like, did you see the Ghost? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I totally missed it.
Well,
I will argue, though, I feel like Hera should have been in the little committee scene. At least maybe in the background. Like, they really should have had her in there if she's a general.
We got that a lot. In the last episode, we had Paul, Megan, and Saf who used to do the Forcecast with me, and we were talking about this very issue. I think it was Megan who pointed out, all three of them agreed with this, that they didn't, I mean, it doesn't make sense from a production point of view for the sake of the Rebels TV series to show any of the Rebels characters in the film, because this is further down the road. And, you know, does Hera have an eye patch and is missing an arm now? Or, you know, is, like, how old is she and what's going on with the other characters? Like, I would have liked to have at least seen Hera, especially since she was named in the movie anyway. And we don't need to necessarily know who else is on the Ghost with her, or where Ezra and Kanan are, or if they're even alive, where Sabine is, and Zeb, etc. But Hera, it would have been nice to see. And if they're going to reference her anyway, then we have a spoiler of sorts that she is alive.
Right.
We see the ghost there, so presumably she is probably still in charge of the ghost. So, let us see her. And yeah,
we're
that
pretty
does...
sure though she's driving the ghost. She would never let anybody else pilot it unless she's maybe part of the mission, but somewhere else.
Right. You know? I agree. But like, if we know that she's alive and everything, then there's not a lot of spoilers that they would have to do visually to, like, again, unless she's wearing an eye patch and has her arm cut off or something radical like that, then it doesn't matter. So it's not really something that's going to break Rebels. The more you show, the more you are locking yourself in on Rebels into storytelling. It's like, well, you know, if we wanted to kill off a character, now we can't kill Hera. At least not until after the events of Rogue One on the Rebels series. So I get it. Like, and they can't kill Chopper. So you've locked those two in. But if you've already got those two locked in anyway, then, you know, why couldn't we get a quick shot of Hera in the cockpit of the ghost? Or even of the ghost flying around and taking out a few TIE Strikers or something? I would have loved to have seen the ghost in an action scene, like actually shooting something.
I wouldn't mind hearing one of the Rebels characters do a voiceover. Like over the battle intercom, but...
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. So, do you think, I mean, objectively, aside from our own personal fandoms, like, do you think that the Rebels Easter eggs were good or bad, sufficient, insufficient?
I thought they were perfect.
Okay.
But that's also because I'm the biggest Rebels fanboy. every time the ghost was on screen, like, when they have that, like, airfield shot and it's up in the upper corner... I cried a little bit. I was like, it's it's legitimizing something we've never had before. Like Lucas used to pull from like comics and stuff and make his own version of it, like with Aayla Secura. Like she used to be pretty different in the books, and then when he made her in the movies, like she kind of became a different character. Like same thing with things like Korriban and Moriband. Like he pulled it and changed it. This is something that, as far as we know, is exactly the same. Like, as it is, as it appears in its original source.
Right. And, you know, it's one thing to say that the books and the TV series and the comic books, like, everything is on equal footing canonically, because we know that from a business point of view, the movies are the cash cow. So the movies are going to matter more and to mean more to Lucasfilm and to Disney, even if canonically... the information all counts the same. So this, as you said, it legitimizes that, and it demonstrates to us that, like, this counts. It's putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
Exactly. Like, I don't need to see the ghost crew entirely to get that they're there. Like, seeing the ghost was enough. Like, seeing Chopper was enough.
Right.
But just the fact that, like, they're there... and just like that they acknowledge that they're there in that sense is like, it changes it for me. Yeah. And I don't think they can do it with the saga movies. Like, I think we're pretty much going to get limited to the spinoffs like this. And I'm fine with that because I feel like the spinoffs, they can do the crazier things. They can do the fan service.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. We didn't have an opening crawl. We didn't have the traditional Star Wars musical theme at the opening, at the title card. It was definitely a darker film. The heroes all died at the end. There were a lot of differences between this and the saga, probably the most controversial being the lack of the opening crawl. What are your thoughts on this? Did they get the spinoff tone right? Or was it too far from?
I think they did. I think they nailed it right on the head because I feel like this movie needed subtle changes like that to really drive the point home that this isn't a saga story. This truly is a Star Wars story. So to like really drive that point home, I went in knowing that there wasn't going to be an opening crawl and being totally okay with that. I feel like the opening scene with Galen and Krennic was the perfect opening scene and really ultimately set the tone that this was going to be a dark movie. Not to say that some of the saga stories haven't been dark at all, but I feel like the Star Wars universe kind of needed a movie like this just to say this isn't all like, you know, lightsabers and the Force. There's a much more fleshed out world, and I think more people are going to want to see more of that.
Yeah, I think for me, it worked. I didn't need a crawl. I think the thing that messed me up a little bit, and I know Chris just wrote out a whole love story to the soundtrack.
Which, by the way,
about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, you can find that over at theforce.net.
Here's the thing. I think when the Rogue One title comes up, it looked a little cheesy to me. It looked like they did it on like iMovie.
Wow.
And I didn't hear a theme to Rogue One. And that's where I think I was like, well, I could have had more of a powerful intro.
Yeah.
I didn't need a crawl, but I needed something a little more like, this is it. This is like something new. You guys are getting something thrown at you. But the intro with Krennic, all that stuff, it worked for me.
I think the musical sting when they're pulling up, when Krennic's shuttle's flying over the planet, like that's what like snaps you into the movie right away. And I like came to terms with that there wasn't going to be a crawl months ago, and I'm fine with that. Like like Randy said, I don't need a crawl in the story movies.
Right.
That these are different. In fact, if they changed up how they intro every movie, like if we get cold openings or if we just get the intro, like I want the story movies to be different. Like they should tell the story they want and in the way they feel like it should be.
You know, you mentioned the music. I mentioned this on the other two shows we did on this too, which you guys wouldn't have heard yet because they're not posted yet. But for me, the biggest distraction with the soundtrack was that when we get the title card, we don't get those few measures of the traditional Star Wars opening theme, and then it blends into something more specific just to this film. Instead, we got what I felt like was those 80s knockoffs from all of the other series that were trying to be Star Wars, but they weren't actually Star Wars. They have like the Star Wars-like orchestral fanfare that wasn't technically copyright violation, but was close enough that you knew that it was Star Wars, right? And I know I've said this over and over again, but you guys being the guys from the Retro Convo, I thought would kind of get what I'm saying here. Like it felt like it was trying to be close, but it didn't include that actual trademarked Star Wars thing there. So, and it's fine. It probably should not have, but because it did something very similar, then it harkened back to what everybody else did in the 80s, at least to me. And it kind of felt like, ugh, like I cringed. Because I'm like, oh, wow, that felt cheap.
So you're saying that this is the trauma movie of Star Wars?
Yeah, that moment, that singular, that is a perfect way to put it, dude. Like, just those maybe, not even 10 seconds, maybe like just 5 to 8 seconds there for a minute. Yes, that's exactly what I flashed back to. Which is weird. And the rest of the soundtrack was fine. And it did bring you into the Star Wars universe. It had the right tone to it. And Michael Giacchino, or however you pronounce his last name, I love Giacchino. I knew we weren't doing it right. I love his stuff. I loved him on Lost. I loved him in a lot of other stuff I've heard of his. And I'm very happy that he was doing the soundtrack.
It seemed like it was just too quiet. There wasn't enough of a punch anywhere in it. I mean, it got better as the movie went on, but that was the part I missed the beginning about most about the beginning was it wasn't the crawl. It wasn't the fact that it didn't feel like the regular Star Wars movies. It just felt like it was empty, that there was like the big hole where the music should have been or the sound should have been. And I didn't feel that. I'm like, okay, I feel a little lost here until it, got going in the movie, 15, 20 minutes in, then I started to feel more comfortable with it. But wow, it just felt very jarring to me when there was no big opening theme.
You know what, though?
I was going to say, too, that I have so much respect for that man to put out a soundtrack in 4 weeks.
I know, right?
That being said, I complete respect for the guy. But the thing was, I felt like they missed some cues. Even when they show the Star Destroyers, the Empire, we need to hear that theme.
Right.
And also, I'm right with Lou. I don't think it was too quiet. That's not the way I would describe it. But there was no theme. Like Episode 7, you can hum Rey's theme after one viewing of it. I just felt like this was all drums and just horns just kind of blaring here and there. And I personally didn't like the soundtrack. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't on the scale that it should be for Star Wars.
Now, as far as what Ernie just said, though, with saying that it was all drums and horns, again, it's a war movie, and this is kind of the similar soundtrack that we have for Clone Wars.
But I would argue that Saving Private Ryan has a theme, and you know that theme.
But Saving Private Ryan's also a different kind of movie, though.
It's a war movie.
It's a war.
You just said it was a war movie.
They're genre, in the genre, they're war movies, but Saving Private Ryan's more of a movie about like a rescue and. It's a different kind of character thing. Like,
I get what you're saying.
This isn't a movie that starts out as a rescue mission. This is a movie that inevitably turns into a suicide mission.
Well, it is kind of in the middle turned into a rescue mission, right?
Almost. But at the end of the day, it starts out as a suicide mission. Yeah. They go to Scarif with no intentions of coming back. And that is the exact conversation they have seconds before getting on the ship that they're going to designate the Rogue One.
I would almost say, though, I would love to hear what Giacchino would have put out if he had a longer time to spend on the soundtrack. And once again, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad soundtrack. I just felt like to the scale of Star Wars, it didn't fit.
I'd like to see what John Williams would have done with this.
That's a different story.
That's something that I like, and I was a little disappointed when they announced that John Williams wasn't going to be doing the soundtrack for this. But man,
I mean, if anybody was going to do it, it had to be Michael Giacchino. Like,
yeah, because he does some phenomenal work.
He really does.
But if Williams had done this, would it have felt too much like everything else we've had?
Yes,
I mean, this did give us a chance to break away into something different. We've all had different thoughts on whether it worked or not, and maybe it worked better for some people than others. But if Williams did this, it may have been just more of the same. I mean, we're going awesome.
Though.
But
if you look at the stuff he's done, though, look at Jaws, look at
I'm talking about the Star Wars stuff now, because if he does something different entirely, he's doing that. But if he's in that Star Wars, frame of mind, it may have felt more cohesive with the rest of the movies. I'm not saying he can't do something different, because he's done phenomenal stuff in different genres and different franchises.
I think with the soundtrack, you have to remember that it's not supposed to be like any of the other ones. And, I talked about this in my review. It's more about making you feel an emotional impact from the movie rather than something that you can listen to, in the background or, while you're doing work or something, because it's not really something you're supposed to listen to and be able to hum themes and, instantly recognize that one piece of music like the Imperial March or Duel of the Fates or Across the Stars or something like that. This is more...
It's more for the ambiance of a scene than exactly. it is for
and, that and makes I, sense. I totally get that. Yeah.
And one thing too that we should probably keep in mind is that I think it was David Collins on Star Wars Oxygen that talked about this. He said that, you know, there are so many movies right now that you go, especially action movies, the Marvel Universe movies are terrible for this. They go and they put in tracks that either sound a lot like stuff that has come before, or it's just something that fits the scene, but it is in no way, shape, or form memorable at all. I think Rogue One, whereas, yes, it's more music that fits the scene, it's a lot more memorable, and in some ways, I think it can potentially be iconic at, you know, once, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, once, you know, people are more familiar with it.
You know, the one argument, the positive argument I would have made, though, for the soundtrack, because like I said, it wasn't a bad soundtrack. It wasn't my personal preference, but it did sound like the Tusken Raider scenes from Star Wars A New Hope, like the doom, 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 you know, kind of stuff like that. It reminded me a lot of that kind of tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a lot of callbacks to the original trilogy, not in terms of like using actual themes, even though it does do that. But it kind of, from a musical perspective, it foreshadows a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right. I know you guys don't have too much time left, but I want to throw one last thing out here real quick. The other thing that's a big controversial topic is the use of CG with Tarkin and Leia. Your thoughts?
I'm going to field this one. Did not break immersion for me at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
It did for me. But I felt like it was necessary. It's completely necessary.
Yeah. You can't, with the time frame of this movie, you cannot do it without Tarkin.
Right. And agreed. Especially to see Tarkin just carry himself the way that he does throughout this whole movie. Like, you know, I'll take it just because it's more Tarkin and he's such a good bad guy, just as full of himself as he is. And that's the one thing that I really did love about his character was just the fact that he's able to get under Krennic's skin so easily and just use his ranking over him just to leverage everything out of him. Because you can tell that the Death Star is a huge accomplishment for Krennic, and to Tarkin, it's just a tool.
Just a little side note. I love Krennic as a bad guy. He's probably my favorite Imperial because he's not like the posh and stuffy Imperials that we've always seen. He's more of like the working class one in the sense that he's working really hard and working really hard, and the rich man above him takes everything.
But he's not just working really hard to create this. It's that he has the intelligence to understand what he's doing and what he's created. So it's like to see that pitted against Tarkin's just, okay, yeah, that's great. This is ours now.
But going back to Tarkin, like there are some parts where he's a little video gamey.
Yeah.
It's better than this technology was in like Tron Legacy when we had like Jeff Bridges as Clue and as
Jeff
Flynn.
Bridges.
Yeah. As Jeff Bridges. But I mean, it worked. And the other option is that we're going to get Wayne Pigam again. And have you seen that picture? It looks like the Crypt Keeper. I don't know why we thought like that cameo appearance in episode 3 was good, because the technology is just so much better now, and it's fine.
I mean, this is definitely the best
we could have. It completely worked.
This is the best we could have hoped for. There were a couple of things. I think after rewatching it, his eyes darted around a lot more than I would have expected.
And he has like little weird ticks in his lips.
Yes, his mouth was weird, and his tongue never moves.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by it's very video gamey. It's very cutscene in a video game.
Right. But still, really, really good. Like, you know, it's fake, and we could tell it's fake, but it was the best fake that we've seen. Yeah.
I agree. And I think even with Carrie Fisher, too, I thought Carrie Fisher's younger self looked amazing for being CGI. Like, like I was saying, I saw this at two different points in time. I saw this before she passed away and then afterward, and it... Like, there was such a bigger emotional response to seeing her young again at the end of this movie, you know, given that she just passed so recently, that it struck a chord, and I thought that she looked great.
I thought she looked better than Tarkin did.
I agree with you there, Eric.
Really? Tarkin didn't break for me, but Leia did. I didn't need to see her at the end, at least didn't see her face. Could have just had the back shot. I'd been happy.
You know, okay, before Carrie Fisher passed away, I would have said no, I didn't need to see her. After, I think it's fine.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, you and I will talk about it more later. All right. Hey, well, yeah, I want to
talk about it.
I want to thank you guys for coming on the show with us tonight. It's been awesome finally getting you on one of our shows, you know, and getting to talk openly and like I said earlier, kind of cross pollinate a little bit. This is really cool.
I suppose when we talk behind their backs, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
They don't listen to our shows anyway. It's fine.
I have your address, Lou. It's
okay. That's okay. We have to make fun of Lou Secchi channel in Black. So
that's true. That's true. Invite
we
only.
We also make fun of each other and talk about each other internally behind each other's back. So this is another thing.
There you go.
And external.
No, but thank you, Lou and Chris and Eric, for having us on the show.
Absolutely.
We've been fans for a while, so.
Awesome.
It's pretty excited to be on here. And we could talk for hours about this, but.
Well, I guess that means we're going to have you on again.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. if there's a will, let us know, and we'll be here.
There's a guardian.
We will be the guardians of those wills.
I didn't think we were going to do that on the show today.
We're going to have to get you guys on Random Chatter next. So, all right.
Let us know when.
So before we wrap up here and I jump to the credits, which I know you guys are in a hurry, I'll kind of do the lightning round thing here. Where can people find you guys online, both your, you know, the Retro Convo and then your individual Twitters, whatever you guys want to spill or plug? Here's your chance.
Absolutely. So the name of the show is called The Retro Convo. You can find us basically across all podcast channels. You can email us at theretroconvo@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at The Retro Convo as well, and that's Instagram and all of our social media is all the same name. My name is Randy. You can find me on Twitter at TRC_Randy. Where can they find you, Fearless Leader?
I'm Ernie, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at YeahBuddyErnie.
And you can follow me, Mike, on Twitter and everything at It's The Rocketeer. That's ITS The Rocketeer. We also, Ernie and I, have the ghost story shows I've mentioned on Random Chatter, where we cover every episode of Rebels. So,
nice. We also have our other host, Raul, who wasn't able to be here with us today. You can find him on Twitter at Thelonious99.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of Echo Base. We would love to hear from the audience members on this. I know a lot of people have some very strong opinions, fortunately most of them good, about Rogue One, and we want to hear from you. So send us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com. You can find us online. Facebook is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And there's the main Random Chatter Twitter account. There's also Echo Base Podcast for this individual show. You can find the three hosts. Lou is Lou Secchi, Lousecki. Chris is The Curse of Chris, and I am Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. You can find all of our shows over at Random Chatter, including the aforementioned ghost stories, which if you're listening to Echo Base, you probably should be watching Rebels. And if you're watching Rebels, you definitely should be listening to ghost stories. So check that out. Spread the word about the shows and about the network in general. Leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you end up finding this podcast. We would love it if you would spread the word. Tell your friends about us as well. And thanks to all of our Patreon donors. If you'd like to join our Patreon community, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And that is it. One last time, guys, thank you for being with us tonight. It was a lot of fun. We're going to close the blast doors. And until next week, take care, everybody.
The Force will be with you. Always.